Welcome to the Deucecast, episode 31, the podcast of Con! I am your host, Dave. Glad to be here for another week, and we are broadcasting on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday because I've been out of town until yesterday afternoon. So let's say hello to my co-host, Mikey. What's up, Mikey?
What up?
And up in the new Deucecast Studios North. That's going to be Matt up there. What's going on, Matt?
Hello, everyone.
And though you can't hear him, you can't see him, but our producer Tommy will wave his hand when I say, hey, Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
You have to merely have faith that Tommy exists.
Close your eyes and imagine an incredibly good-looking, curly-headed Northwestern graduate waving his hand in the air silently.
That's right.
That's our boy, Tommy.
The only college... Oh, wait, no. Dave graduated college.
I did graduate college, yes.
Yeah, I did not. So
at the time, it was just Troy State, though.
It was Troy State, yes.
So I graduated really the school of hard knocks.
Committed to your success, Herzing College. You know, do what I
do. Saw one today that I'd never heard of, the Brown Mackey College. It's in the vein of Herzing and ITT
Tech. The Brown Mackey?
The Brown Mackey, B-R-O-W-N.
Like Ken Mackey?
M-A-C-K-I-E, Brown Mackey College. And ironically, there was a brown person driving out of the parking lot.
I really don't think it takes much to actually start a college, because if you go on Highway 150, and Matt, I don't know if you probably have never seen this, but if you go on Highway 150 and close to Walmart over there,
right,
they're building an Andrew Jackson University.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It's up a little hill. There's a sign that says future home of Andrew Jackson University.
Tommy, is Brown Mackey College, is this the only campus in Birmingham? No, it's multiple. Birmingham's the only campus in the United States? No, there's multiple campuses. So it's legit. They're, you know, it's accredited with...
Well, of course they're legit. I'm glad you said that, because they're one of our new sponsors.
Brown Mackey.
Brown Mackey. Hey. You need an education. You're welcome to a college that is all about you. That is Brown Mackey University. Brown Mackey College here in Birmingham and worldwide with...
South Homewood.
With 34 locations. Grow, evolve, become with Brown Mackey College in Birmingham. That's brownmackeycollege.com. Thank you so much for your enduring support of our
enduring
show.
Enduring. It is an endurance to support us.
That's right. Which awesome. We do thank our longest running sponsor. That'd be Bender & Bender Law Firm. Thank you very much.
Oh, I thought it was Painted by You.
Well, them too.
Yeah,
them too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, of course, speaking of Painted by You, they do sponsor our next segment. That is a Week in Review from Painted by You.
Oh.
So, Mikey, how was your week?
You know, incidentally, I'm sorry, Sean is actually making an app for them right now. Pro bono.
I heard that.
I don't know if it's pro bono. He might be getting paid, but he is making an app for him. So he's in the app business now. He's made the Deucecast app, and now he's doing the Painted by You app.
The Deucecast app, by the way, $99 on iTunes. Pick it up. I think we're trying to get it where, I think, don't you have to charge to begin with?
No.
But then, okay.
No, he could have made it free, but we need money.
That's true.
Well, you can't make anything free.
All right, guys out there, it's a buck. I mean, seriously, it's a dollar.
And he assures me it'll be on Android devices soon, which are much better devices. I mean, let's be honest.
Unless you're comparing it with an iPod,
oh, really?
iPhone, whatever.
I don't know. Well, I had a pretty good week. I mean, obviously, we went into Halloween. So my brother-in-law, Trey, and his wife, Brandy, always have a kickin' Halloween party that I always just let loose on. I have one day a year that I choose to just let all things go, and I just have a good time, basically. I won't say anything more than that.
Incidentally, your daughter celebrated her first birthday on Halloween.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't.
Just kidding.
Maybe. Well, actually, no, that doesn't work.
No, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work. My math,
it didn't make sense the first time you said it. I was like, what is he talking about?
Matt, edit that out.
And I went as the bearded lady was my Halloween costume this year. The picture is on Facebook. So,
who are you? I'm the bearded lady.
The bearded lady. So you can see the picture on Facebook if you choose. It is frightening at best is the way to put it, basically. Frightening at best. And then later on in the week, Tuesday night, in fact, my buddy Drew and I went to a show at Workplay that I'm not going to say it was life-changing, but I will say it reminded me of the days when I was in youth group and just had a really good worship experience. It was phenomenal, and I'm going to talk about it later in the Music Minute because I bought the album for the guy that was the main act there or whatever, and I wanted to play some songs from it. I mean, it was a phenomenal worship experience, I'll say that. And I'm pretty cold-hearted sometimes. and don't talk about my faith whatsoever, like ever. But I will tonight. I mean, it was a good experience. So
cool.
And that pretty much, I'm having to work 10 to 7 twice this week because I'm off quite a bit next week. So 10 to 7 days are sort of crummy. I'm not a big fan of them, but I usually just get to watch Hulu Plus on my phone, so it's not that bad. I guess I watched an episode of Once Upon a Time, which I'm actually really enjoying that show a lot.
The second episode is really much, much better than the first.
Yeah, it's a cheesy show, but I like it a lot. I was going to try Grimm, but I'm very afraid of stuff.
We watched it. Stephanie, it just wasn't that good.
I'm just not a fan.
I didn't think Grimm was very good.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of scary stuff, so I'm going to
Stephanie, like 10 times while we were watching it, like was like, turn this off. I don't think I can take it. And then we kept watching. She's like, okay, we'll watch it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so like we ended up watching the whole episode, but she kept like threatening to stop.
My wife felt the same way
when
we see the Winnie the Pooh movie. I can't take it. It's, yeah. What if they don't find the honey? I was like, dear, just calm down. They're going to find it.
So that was pretty much my week. You're going to hear more about it during the music minute, very briefly. I'm not going to go into everything or whatever, but you'll get to hear some really good music, and I'm going to save the name of the guy who was the headliner, because Matt may know of him since Matt's in that industry. So Matt, yeah. How was your week, dude?
It was good. We've been kind of doing lots of crazy stuff, but one of the probably biggest highlights is Stephanie's parents came in town this weekend. We had at Red Bank Baptist Church, is a local church here that still where Stephanie works. They did a trunk or treat, and it was a big event. For those of you who don't understand what trunk or treat is, it's like a fall festival, but with cars, and people pull their cars in, and like a Sunday school class or some sort of a group, you know, will have a trunk, and they'll have like activities outside of that trunk, and they'll have
like ring toss, you know, like
candy
and stuff.
Yeah. Like all kinds of different stuff. It could be anything. I had inflatables, but I played music there. And then Stephanie and Ken and Lynn brought Nora in her first Halloween costume, which is the most adorable costume ever. She was Yoda.
It was awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Like, Lynn made the entire costume.
I loved it. It was
and
a good costume.
She knitted the hat, which had like ears, like the pointy ears on it. She knitted her little booties that were green, and they made, like, Stephanie and Lynn made a robe and belt for her. Yeah. It was pretty adorable.
It was good. I will say, and I know this was probably hard, the ears were sort of droopy.
They were droopy, but, and they know. Were the only, yeah, I really wish that's the one thing that I think wish we could have like done some sort of wire, mm-hmm. you know, to make them go. But holding her, she would have like stabbed me in the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
With her ears if they were pointed with the wire.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. But anyway, it was pretty cool, and we got as much mileage as possible out of that costume. Like, we took it Saturday night, and then we took her to church Sunday morning in the costume.
Yeah.
And so, like, everybody got to see it there. And then Monday night, actual Halloween night, we went over to my parents' house, and my cousins always come over with their Halloween costumes, their kids. And they all come over, and, you know, mom and dad give them candy and stuff. And so we had Nora over there, too, and took her over to see my great aunt here that lives in a retirement kind of community.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. Let's see. Other than that, we'd watch something. What was I going to say? I guess it was Once Upon a Time, maybe. And we tried to watch Grimm. And we've been watching this might sound really corny, but, you know, only certain shows are available on Hulu Plus.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This last couple weeks, like, everything good wasn't new, except for, I guess, The Office was new last week, the Thursday night comedies. But, like, all the other stuff was not new last week because of the World Series.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So we've been watching the new Tim Allen show, Last Man Standing, and it's actually pretty funny. Like, if you,
it got renewed today, sorry, picked up for a full season.
Yeah, yeah, it did. Once Upon a Time did. Yeah, several shows have.
And Happy Endings, which I've never watched but heard is funny.
What is Happy Endings?
That's that show on ABC. It's actually the second season of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, and I've actually heard it's really funny, but I've never seen any of it.
we've also been watching Revenge, and and it's good. It's a good show. Stephanie loves it, but she likes the she probably likes it more than me. But I like to watch it because she likes it, and it's good. I mean, it is. It's intriguing. It's got an interesting storyline to it.
Yeah, and it's got Madeline Stowe in it.
It does have Madeline Stowe, which is strong. To quite strong.
She has that lazy eye, though. She still hasn't gotten that fixed.
I mean, you can't tell.
No, you can't? Okay. It was really bad in Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, last, no, she you was can't awesome tell.
Daniel Day-Lewis couldn't ever really, like, know if she was looking at him or not. It was so...
But, yeah, that's it pretty much. I mean, it's been a really good week. Like I ended at last week, there are a lot of changes coming for our family and that we've been kind of just trying to prepare for them, but I'll probably be ready to talk about that a little bit next week.
You want to know my problem with Madeline Stowe? Let me tell you my problem with Madeline Stowe. All right.
Please,
I like Madeline Stowe. I do. In the movie she's been in, especially The Last of the Mohicans, my 11th favorite film of all time. No Way Out with Kevin Costner. Very good movie as well. Top 500, but it's a good movie. My problem with her is the way her name is spelled. And the reason this is a problem.
Because
there's
an E on the end?
No, the reason. Stowe. This is a problem in my life.
Shoppy.
Only because my sister-in-law, Stephanie's sister, has a daughter named Madeline and loved The Last of the Mohicans so much that she named her daughter Madeline, spelled like Madeline Stowe.
Okay.
Now, Madeline Stowe is spelled Madeline, I think. Tommy's waving his head.
That is
so
weird.
So when I'm writing out Christmas cards, when I'm writing out tags on Christmas presents and birthday presents,
I gotta spell
Madeline.
Wrong.
Madeline. That's a problem for me because I can never remember how to spell this. And so this is my problem with Madeline Stowe. Hmm. That freaky name is messing me up. So other than that, she's a lovely girl.
She doesn't look like she ages. She still looks the same on Revenge.
Yeah, and in Revenge, she wears like the tightest dresses all the time.
Well, she's supposed to be like a slutty debutante or whatever, right?
She's not slutty, but yeah, she's like the queen of the Hamptons.
Yeah, something.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, now.
Going to the Hamptons to see the baby.
Was she the one in No Way Out, or was that Sean Young?
That was Sean Young. Okay. I was confused. I didn't know.
Okay. So
if you were talking about a different No Way Out.
I just didn't care, so I didn't.
Well, the only reason I even bring
that up. Because it was Kevin Costner. I understand your hate.
Pretty much.
The only reason I even bring that up is because I think she was with Kevin Costner in Revenge, the movie. Madeline
Stone.
Yes.
And Anthony Quinn.
Now, I have a problem with this movie because she's married to Anthony Quinn.
Right. But not by choice.
Not by choice.
She was forced into marriage.
But Kevin Costner comes in, busts up the marriage, steals the woman, and then he gets upset whenever Anthony Quinn gets mad.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. I mean, you busted up the marriage. What do you think is going to happen?
That actually...
it's not a bad film.
It's not a bad film, and I remember...
Except for Costner being in it.
Shut up. I remember always trying to sneak that movie as a young buck because it had, like, inappropriate scenes in it, and I shouldn't have been watching it in 1989.
Yeah.
So I somehow had the VHS tape
I'm not sure if you see Madeline Stowe's in them or not, but she's...
I think you do, unfortunately. But, yeah, that movie was weird. I watched it at the time because I was a diehard Kevin Costner fan.
And this is not Aidan Quinn, the young buck Aidan Quinn at the time. This is... Anthony Quinn.
Isn't Aidan Quinn on a show right now?
It could be. I don't know.
Are you sure you're not talking about Colin Quinn?
Not him either.
No. I do remember
Colin. So Kevin Costner, you stole my wife. I'm going to shoot you now.
I like Colin Quinn.
He was on Remote Control.
Yes, he was.
Was that? Yep. Yeah. Okay.
And he also did the SNL, newscast role.
Yeah, he did. I forgot about that. He did do
I liked his Weekend Update.
Yeah, his Weekend Update was good. So Dave, what about your week, dude? I mean, it couldn't have been any better. You were in
Let me tell you, I got a few things, and I could take up the entire hour talking about this, but I'm not going to. But a few things I do want to throw out: we went to Disney World this past week.
Yes,
we left Thursday evening. I drove to Valdosta, spent the night in a nice little Hyatt, and got up the next morning around 7. Was in Disney World by 11 o'clock in the morning, which was nice.
Yeah,
spent the day at Animal Kingdom. Went the next day at Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. You know, we did the rounds, did the tour. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot.
Oh, nice!
So I managed to splurge on some French creme brulee, some escargot, some Australian shank lamb. It was good.
Wow,
it was good. We stayed at the Boardwalk, which I've never stayed at before. Very nice hotel. Walked to Epcot every time, 5-minute walk. It was great. Had a really, really good time. I mean, that's it. Disney is Disney.
I mean, obviously, now, Stephanie is not as mobile as
she is not. She is
normally
not. We went
been.
Some with some friends of ours. We went with one of my very close friends, Melanie, and her husband and family. So they have the DVC, Disney Vacation Club.
Oh.
And so we stayed with them, which was great. And they were very, very generous to let them stay with let us stay with them. But, no, it was a lot of fun. We did go back to Universal Studios on Monday.
You went to Universal?
Went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Oh.
And which, again, was nice. It rained for the first 4 hours hard. So we ended up leaving, finding a Steak and Shake, coming back, and had a good time. And so, but
is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter not pretty awesome, though?
It is very awesome. It is very small. So I am afraid, and I caution people about this, I'm afraid that they come into this thinking that, you know, there will be, you know, the huge, huge theme park, and it's not a huge theme park. It's a part of the park
right
in the corner, very small, three rides, and a bunch of little shops, and that's pretty much it.
It's a pretty big area, though. I mean, when you consider that it's a fraction of the park.
It's really not a big area, though. I mean, it's just not.
To be dedicated to one franchise? I guess.
But
well, let me ask you
this.
For someone that will probably never go to Universal, probably never going to, just because,
right.
I mean, it's in the Islands of Adventure. I'm not a big roller coaster guy, so I don't want to spend the money just to go see Harry Potter. If you were in Disney, and I'm very familiar with Disney, what area would that encompass? Like, how big of an area would that encompass in Disney? Say you're at the Magic Kingdom. What area of the Magic Kingdom would that fit in?
Oh, gosh.
It's smaller than any single area.
Yeah,
probably.
Maybe Tomorrowland. Smaller than Tomorrowland.
Wow.
I mean, I would say Frontierland, but Frontierland is more just stretched out.
Stretched out,
same thing with Adventureland. So I would say...
Yeah, but Michael, think about it this way. It is... Okay, in Disney World...
Right.
There is no area that's dedicated to one single franchise, right? No, I mean, there's not any area in all of Disney World that's dedicated to one certain thing.
You could sort of say there's the Lucasfilm area.
And there is the Pixar.
It's two things. It's bigger than that.
See, I haven't been. I don't know about Pixar Place.
In Hollywood Studios. But my whole point in bringing up Harry Potter was that, of course, it's not Disney. We get in there, and when we went last February, myself and Stephanie, and
is this
and
your second time going
this
to Wizarding World?
Harry Potter, okay. And I'm done, I think, with Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
With that particular park itself. Yeah. I think I'm done. I've visited twice. It's great. But we went in February, and you walk into the wand shop, Ollivander's wand shop, and we bought wands, and there was a team member there, as they call them at Universal. And she did this really cool, you know, what is your birthday? We told her, and they're like, she's like, okay, well, you fall under this particular sign of the stars. This is your wand, blah, blah, blah. It was really a cool little experience, so we bought the wand that was suited for us. And so we get there, and Melanie,
your hair blow back?
Hair blew back and everything. And we get there, and awesome. And Melanie and her children are there, and I'm in there as well. Stephanie did not go to Harry Potter because she was pregnant, and she didn't want to spend, you know, $91 to get in to the Universal Studios not do anything.
Right.
Except walk around approximately 3 feet an hour, which would be bad for her. So we get in there, and we're expecting, like, the team member to be there to talk to the kids and say, what is your birthday? Here's what's the sign of the star. Well, there's this black chick there named Charlotte, okay? Charlotte. Charlotte.
Mm-mm.
And she's standing there. and I simply say, okay, we're looking at getting wands. Are you supposed to ask us some questions? And she goes, yeah, I can ask you some questions. Silence.
Okay.
And I said, you know, can you help us? I mean, you know, sure, we can get you one. I mean, just totally
oblivious to what you're asking her
to
do.
So I walked around a little bit, and I found another team member named Sarah, and I stopped Sarah, and I said, Sarah, let me talk to you for a second. I said, you see Charlotte over there? And she said, yes. And I said, Charlotte is a stick in the mud. I said, we came in February.
Wow.
Had a great time. Got an experience getting our wands. I said, it was just great. I said, we walked over there to Charlotte for these children to get some wands, and she's just kind of standing there. I said, this is not cutting it. It's ruining the experience. Can you help us? Sarah came over. She did the whole thing. I mean, it wasn't over the top. She just did her job, which was wonderful, but it really just walked out. You walked out thinking, yeah, this is not Disney.
So their team members are not as dedicated as the Disney cast members.
Not really.
Members.
And, you know, every now and then you will find a cast member that does that at Disney.
Oh, okay. Disney.
But at the same time, all the other cast members are so good, they make up for it. And so...
Yeah, Disney has a different standard for
sure. Different standard.
Although I will say, Dave, if it weren't for your blind love of Disney, and if you were literally just going to the two parks and you weren't just like the world's hugest Disney like aficionado,
right.
and you went to both of them, I really think that, like, if you were a male,
I am,
and you like, or a boy,
if I was,
and you were going to both, yep. I think you would like Islands of Adventure better than any Disney.
If
park.
I am 14 years old, I probably might.
Yeah.
Because it's got funner. Like every ride is way funner than any Disney ride.
That's because, and I disagree with that completely.
Except for the Dr. Seuss area.
Well, I don't know how long it's been since you've been at Islands of Adventure, but there aren't that.
I went about a year ago.
There aren't that many great rides. I mean, the Hulk.
Stephanie was pregnant.
The Hulk and
Spider-Man,
two roller coasters. Well, Spider-Man's kind of a motion ride. The Hulk.
Both of the Harry Potter rides.
The Hulk was great. The Harry Potter ride was great. The Dueling Dragons, Dragon Challenge, whatever was great.
Dragon Stance was good.
Beyond that, I mean, there's the Poseidon show, which is only cool because you walk through a water tunnel.
That's crappy. That's not a ride.
There's
though.
The Dr. Seuss ride, which you could compare to any of the rides in Fantasyland.
Right.
All of the water rides are way funner.
Jurassic
and
Park
way wetter.
And Rip-Shot.
It's just dated.
You know. I don't know. I disagree. I completely disagree.
I think it is a.
Now, if you,
I don't know.
If you put the two
is.
Parks together, if you go to Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios, I think you have a case there because you're combining all the roller coasters,
guys.
The Mummy and Riptide, Rip and Rocket, whatever. But I think
you're both way off base here. I think Alabama Adventure is way better than either.
Well, that's a given, Michael.
Either
that's a given, Michael.
I mean, that's a given. That's
hey,
just,
you guys have never been to Lake Winnipesaukee.
You're right. Right.
Well, no, see, Michael, true. What you just did basically was like, it's like me and Matt are talking about, or me and you are talking about the best actors in the world, and
right.
We left out Steven Seagal. That's a given. I mean, this, you don't even talk about
assumed,
him.
Like
it's
Nicolas Cage.
Right.
It's assumed. Yes, that's why Michael Ironside is better than Rip Torn. I mean, it's assumed,
right?
You know, be throwing Steven Seagal and the conversation's over.
Exactly.
So. But I like just I'll spend two more minutes on this and that's it. Okay.
Okay.
Look, I'm not going to address.
I'll
anymore.
See you two and but, I'll go ahead.
But going into the Harry Potter area and stepping into like the little pavilion where you look up and you see all the owls in the owlery, you know, going into the Three Broomsticks. Did you guys eat at the Three Broomsticks?
I have eaten there before. We did not eat there this time. I did have three glasses of butterbeer, though, which was awesome.
But, I mean, that experience is awesome. It's totally unique.
Now,
I
will agree with you on
that. The food they give you is good.
And,
I mean,
and don't think that I'm dissing the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It's a great land. It is a great area of the park.
Looks
it
like is, the architecture
is
well
it is
done.
Detailed.
Yeah, I don't think there's any area of Disney that's a dedicated place that is quite as dense with detail.
Well, I think it's all good at Disney. So, well, no, and I have,
but not dense with
I
detail.
I have my problems with Disney too. So don't get me that I'm so unbiased and unfiltered that or so
you're
biased
pretty,
against Disney.
You're pretty biased,
but
you're pretty biased.
You know,
there.
But I agree with you. The Harry Potter area.
Both of you are
it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's detailed. It's beautiful. It's a beautifully well done. I mean, it looks gorgeous. Okay, it really, really does. And Universal, I think, has made so much money from this now because it's been a huge boost to the park.
Right.
They are looking to expand it sometime in the next 5 years.
Well, they should.
I'm looking forward to. And if they do, I will go back. My whole point of even telling that story was that Disney team cast members are better than any of Universal's best cast members. I see your point, Matt, that if you're 14 years old, you're a boy, you're going to want to ride rides. You could care less about the detail, care less about you want to ride rides. I get it. I understand.
You
can
care less about princesses.
But in that vein,
Small World.
In that vein, I would just rather go to Six Flags than Universal because there's like twice as many roller coasters at Six Flags in Atlanta than there are at Universal. So Six Flags, Ninja, baby, Ninja. You know, so. So, yeah,
it's just
I see
old.
Your point. Yeah, we are just old. So, okay, but I do have this query, and I want to post this out to you. And Tommy, you can jump in. You can wave or whatever you do.
Query.
All right, so let me preface this by saying that when we go to Disney, my wife and I are pin traders. We trade Disney pins.
Okay.
For those of you listening, the ones of listeners out there listening to this, if you don't know anything about Disney pins, they're tradable with the cast members and other guests and everything. We do that. For anybody who's been in my home, they've seen lots and lots of pins, thousands of pins we have in our house on boards and stuff. And
Pinterest.
So in order to get more pins to trade, we will go on eBay and we will buy large quantities of them at one time.
Right.
So, and I'm very careful about how I order them. I'm pretty experienced about how I order them. Mm-hmm. Well, we ordered some for my sister-in-law and her family that were going. We ordered 50 from a guy in Tennessee. And I emailed
him. Was his name
him.
Matt, by chance?
It was not from me. Believe me, it was not from me.
He would draw Mickey Mouse on like a piece of paper and send it back to me. Pin this to the wall, Dave. No, we ordered it from this guy, and I emailed him and said, I want to get these 50 from you. We're going to order 200 in the next couple of days for my trip happening next week. He emailed back and said, absolutely, we'll get the 50 out to you immediately because I paid for it immediately, you know, and let me know as soon as you want the 200, we'll get them out to you. So I said, okay. So the 50 arrived within 2 days.
I don't like the way this is going. Well, they arrived.
The 50 pins arrived. Okay. Perfect. It was great. Great pins. It looked good. So I went ahead and ordered 200 from the same guy. And
why does this guy have so many pins?
Don't know. But I emailed him back and I said, hey, we just ordered some pins from you.
Black market pin trading.
We just ordered some pins from you and, you know, we went ahead and paid for it. So we'd like to get this as soon as possible. Send me the tracking number because it's middle of the week before my vacation.
Yeah.
Well, Friday comes, no pins, haven't heard from him. And so I went online and looked and I realized, oh my gosh, I haven't paid for the pins. Holy crap. Haven't paid for them. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. We're going to pay for expedited shipping. My, you know, our vacation is still 5 days away, 6 days away. So I emailed the guy again and said, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I didn't pay for the pins. I apologize. You know, we went ahead and paid for them, and I did. I paid for them immediately. I said, can you please go ahead and send those out? Give us a tracking number. Didn't hear from him for 24 hours.
Uh-oh.
Finally, I heard from him. This is where I have the question. I finally heard from this guy.
Okay.
And he said, sorry about that. I'm on vacation. I won't be sending anything out till the following Friday.
Oh, no.
And so, on one hand, as an eBay seller, well, it's not your responsibility to tell me when you're going on vacation.
Right.
But on the other hand, I've already emailed you twice about the urgency of my vacation upcoming and why I need these pins. Is it bad form for a seller to not inform the buyer, hey, you know what? If you're going to buy these from me, just understand that I'm not going to be sending anything out until next Friday. When you have the facts in front of you, I mean, maybe it's not necessary, but it is.
Did you say the facts, like FAX,
FAQ.
The information in front of you.
Let's say, if you send a fax, then you don't deserve
it. So, I mean, is that bad form? Is that bad? Or am I just getting upset over nothing? I mean,
a little bit of both. It's a little bit. Pins are ridiculous, but.
Well, taking away the product, if I ordered, I don't know, if I ordered some Star Wars thing that I wanted to get before I went to the convention next year, for example. And for some reason I...
Like what? Like what would that be, Michael?
Like a lightsaber or something. Just I don't know. I'm just
coming
up with a product.
I understand what you're about to say. I get it. And you forget to pay for it. That's on you.
Correct. No. All I was going to say is I wouldn't have waited as long as you did to buy the 200.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah, you got to have some lead time.
My whole point, though, was that after emailing him beforehand saying I've got a vacation coming up, and can you get these to us? This is why we're purchasing from you. I feel like that by Wednesday or Thursday, you know, when I sent him an email saying I wanted to let you know that it's paid for or whatever, when he realized the pins weren't paid for, I feel like he should have sent an email back saying, I see they weren't paid for. You're not going to get them. I wanted to apologize. So,
well, Dave, next time you do it, you should order it, and the seller should be a Disney cast member.
Probably. Yes. Okay, well, this sucks because you guys are supposed to agree with me.
Well,
so,
I mean, I see your...
I understand what you're saying, but I think I agree with Michael. I mean, that level of margin, because, like, you think about these sellers. Dude, some of these sellers are, like, they're doing a lot of stuff. They're not just, like, focused just on your one
sale.
But
they should be.
That's the beauty of eBay. They don't have to be.
Because I think the guy's kind of a jerk, actually, because what bothers me is he's a Christian seller on his website. So so I emailed him and I told him that the pins are not going to work for us. You know, we're going on vacation. We're not going to get them in time.
Refund.
Would you mind please refunding the money? If you do so, I will give you great feedback on communication, blah, blah, blah. So he says, absolutely. He said, when I get back from vacation, I'll refund the money immediately, you know, whatever. So when we get back from the vacation, we got 200 pins sitting at our doorstep.
Oh,
he sent them.
No.
So I replied with an email saying, we got the pins.
Can you send them back?
I'm going to send them back to you, you know, for a refund. No big deal. So he sends me back an email earlier today that said, something to the effect of, that's fine if you want to, but I have a better offer.
Oh.
If you want to keep some of the pins, maybe keep 50, I'll give you 75% off.
Oh.
Did the math, figured out how much that would be per pin, and replied back to him and said, well, that would be great. We could keep 50 of them at this 75% off price.
Right.
Here's the price, whatever, you know, and you could refund back some of the money. So he sends me back an email tonight saying, I think you misunderstood. I don't know where you got the whole percentage thing. This is the price of them. No more, no less. Send back what you don't want. And so I emailed him again tonight, and I'm just like,
that's weird.
I'm just like, and I copied his email on it, and I said, you said 75% off. That's where I got it from. Sorry, you know, we'll go ahead and keep the ones we want. We'll pay for them, and then we expect a refund from the rest. So anyway, this guy's name is Eric.
That's
lives in Tennessee. Don't buy from him.
Good grief. Eric just got pwned.
Yeah, that's my.
No, next time I'm buying Disney pins, I will not use him.
I think the next time you buy Disney pins, hell has officially frozen over. So
I mean, the world.
Yeah,
will
Tommy's
be
pulling
over.
Up pictures of Disney pins. That looks like our house right now, actually. Mm. So,
That's a substantial pinnage right there.
Yeah. Oh, and live on the air, I got my latest email from this guy. So
we'll
read it and we'll see what it says.
Let's see what this.
That's right. Let's wait for it to come up.
This friendly seller
All right,
says.
So here's the email I got. It simply said from him before.
Okay.
Where I gave him the math and everything. It simply said, if you want, but I can make you a better offer. If you can, open the box gently, go through the pins. Keep the ones you want, send the rest back. I'll give you the pens at the percentage price.
Gently used box.
I'll give you the pens at a percentage price, meaning if you want to keep 50, you'll get a 75% discount. And that's when I emailed him back, did the math and everything, right. And I was like, this is what we're getting them for, 75% off, blah, 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 blah. So he emails me back and simply says, and I read that email precisely. Okay, there's no confusion. I'm not sure where you're getting the 75% off from.
Wow.
So I emailed him back, and it's like, okay, that's fine. He emails me back and says, right now, no worries. I've been very ill, so I wasn't sure what I've been telling you. Thanks, Eric.
Ill as in mad or ill as in ill?
I think ill as in sick, but if you tell me something, is that bad form to renege on it? Because he reneged. He said 70% off, and now he's saying, I didn't say that.
I say we find this guy and teach him a lesson.
That's right.
In Pinterest trading.
It really is. I mean, the pins, it's a big deal. GoMF03, that's his handle on eBay.
Wow.
You don't want to order from this guy. You just don't. He's a nice guy and all. He's got good feedback or whatever, but he's hard to work with.
GoMF.
So, GoMF03.
Okay.
So, maybe it's GOMF03. I don't know.
You could go anything with that, really.
All right, so that's my week in review.
Awesome, dude.
I officially think I took the longest I've ever taken at any...
No, it's fine.
Tommy's pulling up the eBay store. That's awesome.
I just want to know where this guy gets all these pins. He makes them in his basement.
Okay, so do you legitimately want to answer that question on the air, or are we boring Matt to death?
Well,
because I can answer this question from you.
Okay, never mind.
The whole concept of pins and pin trading is
awesome.
The dumbest thing ever.
Well, the whole concept of Zach Wilde is queer, so there.
I haven't heard that word since the 80s.
What, queer? Or Zach
yeah,
Wilde?
Queer. I haven't heard that word since the 80s. It's been a long time.
Mikey, Music Minute.
I don't know how we're going to bring this around, guys, at this point. But, no, I mean, as I mentioned, I got to go to an unexpected concert on Tuesday night. It was at Workplay, which is one of my favorite venues in town, so I knew I would at least enjoy the experience and the venue. And I took Drew with me, and if you know Drew, he probably was even more unexpected about what was about to happen. But the whole thing started, Matt Jackson, a good friend of mine, Matt, you know, I'm thinking about you a lot right now because I know your dad's going through some stuff. So, but he invited me via the Valleydale Fall Festival. I knew nothing about the show. I didn't know what was going on. My previous experience with seeing Matt in a concert, he was part of a band called the White Oaks, which was a, you know, just a southern rock band. I mean, nothing more than that. I mean, there wasn't anything there. And so I was like, okay, I'll come. You know, if you're going to be playing, I'll come. And he apparently plays bass for this guy. Well, this guy's name is Daniel Bashta. He is pretty big in the Atlanta area. He is the worship pastor at a up-and-coming church in Atlanta. And he has some pretty big friends in the industry. He's on this album I bought, he's got a duet with Mac Powell, who is the lead singer of Third Day. So this guy knows some people or whatever. But I didn't know anything. I didn't know who Daniel Bashta was. I didn't know it was going to be a Christian concert at all. I had no idea. And I saw a bunch of younger kids there, like probably like high school age or middle school age. There was even some middle school aged kids there, I think. And it just really made me, and I sort of stood off to the side with Drew and watched the show, and it really reminded me of those youth group experiences I used to have back in the day where we would get so hyped up to go see like Jars of Clay or Third Day or a band like that. Like, you know, there were several times where, you know, it was just an awesome experience to go see those shows. And so I sort of had that experience again. I mean, as I mentioned, though, I'm pretty cold-hearted and hands-in-the-pocket type of guy. I don't really let loose at at worshiping and whatnot. And so I didn't really, like, go crazy or anything at this show, but I definitely, you know, had an experience. You know, I could feel Christ in that place, and it was a really, really good experience. And so I just want to play. It's hard on these worship CDs because the songs are really long, and so they get started in weird places, and they don't start getting really good until towards the end of the song. So I'm going to play a couple of songs. I think I'm queued up here. But, again, the guy's name is Daniel Bashta. Really, really good worship artist. So I'll play the first track here. Dreamers is the name of the song.
I've heard of this guy.
He's really good, man. So that was one song. I mean, I think you can probably tell why I like it. It sounds a lot like a lot of the music that I listen to. I mean,
it's got an indie.
It's got a very
sound,
indie,
high pitched vocals.
Yeah, very very indie feel to it. And so I was really drawn to it immediately when from the first song. And the guy really has a presence about him on stage that I have not felt it since like a Coldplay concert. I mean, he is that dynamic on stage when he's playing and stuff. So I'll just do one more song or whatever. I mean, I don't want to go crazy with this, but I'll try and go with gosh, I don't know, there's so many good songs. I'll try this one, and I sort of don't know where I'm gonna start at it, but we're gonna try it anyways. This one's called Like a Lion.
Yeah, this one's done by a lot of people.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's David Crowder Band originally.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's got a cool opening.
Another thing that I noticed is the musicians he had around him were some of the best musicians I have ever seen. The drummer was probably one of the best drummers I've ever seen.
Better than Larry Mullen?
Dude, much better than Larry Mullen.
Better than Tommy Lee?
Close.
I doubt it. Different take on Nana than the versions I've heard.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I was really, really drawn to this guy. I think he's got something there. I mean, I think he's really, really talented, obviously. I mean, you know, I think, and I'm sure Matt will agree with this, and I don't know, it might be cliche to say, but I think, anybody that's playing for Christ is going to be excellent at what they do because they're going to strive for excellence.
I mean, you hope so, but
they're going to strive.
There's a lot of people that There's a lot of people that do it as a safety, you
right?
Know?
This guy, I could tell he was legitimate because it wasn't just a concert. He had the, and it's sort of normal at these Christian concerts to have a speaker come out and talk about a ministry to basically give money to or whatever. You know, I don't want to say that that's going to happen at every Christian concert you go to because it doesn't. But at a lot of them, you know, he's affiliated himself with this gentleman that adopted a child in Uganda and is trying to still help that village or whatever that he adopted the child from. So the gentleman came out and, you know, spoke or whatever for a few minutes as a break on the concert or whatever. And so, I don't know, man. I could see it in the kids' faces that they were really, you know, into the music. They were worshiping unabandoned and unhinged. And so it was pretty awesome to be in a room like that, in a venue that generally doesn't have something like that. And I don't know. It was a really, really neat experience. I mean, I went to Amazon the day after the concert. You can get the album for $5. I mean, and it's really, really a good album. It I have just been listening to it nonstop, and it really
what album is it? The Sounds of
Yeah,
Daniel
that's the
Bashta?
Only one that he's got that I know of, and it says it's it says it's through Sony, so I don't know if he signed or how that even works, but
it's on iTunes and it's got a special edition. It's got like a video with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that
digital booklet.
I think that he is a signed artist or whatever, but I don't know. Our buddy Matt hooked up with this guy. He plays bass with this guy. So I got to talk to Matt afterwards, and I don't know. It's just really good. I had something completely else planned that I was going to play that was another cheesy thing that you guys would have made fun of or whatever. And I went to this concert on Tuesday night, totally unexpected experience that I had, and I went immediately and bought the album, and I really can't stop listening to it. It's got a lot of tracks, and they're really, really good. Like I said, he's got a duet on there with Mac Powell called Heaven. That's a really, really good song. And then another person, Christy Smith or whatever, he does a duet with her. She's apparently well known. She sings at some church.
Is it the Heaven that's like the How Far Is Heaven and I?
You mean by Salvador?
I don't
what was the name of that band? I can't remember what the name of the band
is. I can't remember what.
Salvador?
All,
is it really is Salvador? It,
yeah, Salvador.
I don't think it's Salvador, is it?
There was two versions of it. There was a secular version and the Christian version.
Yeah.
And I want to say Salvador to the Christian version, but I can't think of who did the the original.
They're good. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's not the same song, of course.
I don't know.
I am very passionate about what you're talking about, Michael.
Yeah.
And I mean, I haven't really talked about it very much on the podcast before, but I guess this is as good a time as any. And I'll just, if it's okay with you, I'll just kind of make this my s'more.
Yeah,
moment.
Go ahead. Yeah, we'll move into the s'more.
For those of you who don't know, I mean, what I do for a living basically is I'm a worship leader. And so like what I'm most passionate about is honoring the greatest sacrifice that could ever be done, ever be given to you, the greatest gift that you could receive, you know, honoring that.
And no, we're
through,
not talking about free Deucecast podcasts.
No, right. Or free copies of Fire Down Below
or free
or whatever.
Pins.
But, you know, it's honoring that, you know, that sacrifice and that love by, you know, singing, by doing whatever, by, you know, giving people encouraging words and acts of service. I mean, that's what I would consider worship.
Yes.
And, I lead worship for, you know, middle school kids, high school kids, adults, and it just, when you get in a group of people that are willing to just, you know, I mean, we go to events all the time. We go to concerts, we go to movies, we go to sporting events where people are just throwing down, you know, enthusiastically to make fools of themselves, to get seen by someone, to, you know, just to participate with a crowd. You know, I mean, a concert, I almost consider all concerts to some people to be a worship experience of their own.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's not a worship of God. It's a worship of that artist,
right,
of that music,
right,
or whatever. And it just kills me to show up at church and see people just stand there, when I know that that same person probably the day before was standing up on their couch, like screaming, you know, for their football team you know, to make a touchdown or something, you know. I mean, it's just, it's the most important thing in the world. I mean, there is nothing that's more important than, and it's something, if for anybody out there that's not familiar with what we're talking about, or maybe that feels uncomfortable about what we're talking about, I mean, it's something that's changed my life. Absolutely. I mean, every step of the way. I know it may make somebody uncomfortable, but it's something that is, I don't know. It's almost intangible. You know, it's almost hard to describe, like Michael said.
Yeah.
But but when you're in an experience like that, it is amazing. Like we just had a night of worship Sunday night, mm-hmm. and our worship set, I mean, just the things that we played, the audience, you know, was all members of the church. I mean, it was incredible. It's a unparalleled experience, is getting to do something like that. And so I totally understand where you're coming from, Michael, with, you know, going to that, and it changes your outlook.
It does,
you know, especially if you haven't done it in a while, you know what I mean? It refreshes you, I think, a little bit.
It was, and that's a really, really good word. I mean, it was like a refreshing experience, because first and foremost, I didn't know who Daniel Bashta was. I obviously know, you know, Matt Jackson's a Christ follower, but I didn't know that he was playing with, you know, a Christian band now or what. I knew nothing about it. I just, you know, really love Matt Jackson's passion when he plays music and stuff. And so when he invited me, I made every possible effort to go. And so, you know, I went, and it was just a really refreshing experience. And, you know, this could be making people feel uncomfortable to listen to something they don't expect on the Deucecast or whatever. But, I mean, I think a really safe, good starting point would just seriously just go buy that Daniel Bashta album and just have a personal experience by listening to it. You know, if you've never ever stepped your foot in a church or whatever, I think a good safe way to hear what we're talking about is just, you know, go buy the album or listen to the tracks or whatever. I mean, it's really good.
Send us an email if you got a question.
Yeah, by all means, info@thedeucecast.com. I mean, by all means, send us an email if there's a question or whatever. But, I mean, you know, I have a really hard time, and I always had, and Dave knows this and Matt knows this, expressing my faith. I have a really, really hard time doing that. I'm just uncomfortable doing that at times. But, you know, I am a Christ follower. I'm proud to say I'm a Christ follower. I make mistakes just like anybody else. You know, I made mistakes at the Halloween party I went to. But, you know, I still am a Christ follower, and I do my best at that I can every day. You know, it has to be a daily choice that you make, because it's not easy if you don't make the daily choice to follow Christ. You can easily, you know, fall out of that.
I don't think it's so much, and I think you and I are on the same boat, I don't think it's so much that we have a problem expressing our faith, because if somebody asked us if we're Christ followers, I think we would enthusiastically say yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. We're not going to deny that. Nothing we do is going to hinder that. I think it's more of it's harder for us to openly discuss our faith when it's not already being discussed.
Right.
Or if there's not some sort of a lead in to
Right.
You know, something like this. Yes. Obviously, now we're having a conversation that we probably haven't had in 31 episodes of the Deucecast.
Right.
We're talking openly about Jesus Christ and the power of Christ and the power of the resurrection. Whereas that's not something that, you know, you're talking to a coworker and all of a sudden you go, hey man, let me ask you, you know, about your church experience. I mean, it's just something we just don't do. We should, but we don't do.
Right. And this city, and I know all over the United States this might be the case, but Birmingham, Alabama is a very difficult place to minister to people, because everybody will tell you they're a Christian, or everybody will tell you they believe in God at the very least. And that way, they don't have to have a conversation with you about it. They just say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah.
Or they believe they are a Christian because they're not really sure what that means.
Exactly.
You know? And actually, you will never, I mean, you hear me use the term, but you'll never hear me use the term Christian as in the sense that, you know, I have given my life to Christ. I always use the term Christ follower.
Right.
Because the term, in my opinion, the term Christian has lost its meaning. So many people talk about how they're a Christian, but they never use the name Christ. It's always, it's almost like if you put it up to sports figures talking in sports, you know, sports interviews or whatever, they'll talk about God, stuff like that, but you'll never hear the name Christ come out of their mouth.
Right.
And, you know, they claim to be Christians, but that's not actually what it's all about. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the only reason I say Christian is because that's what, you know, named in the Bible.
Well, of course.
Yeah, that's the word. But I see what you mean. I do think that there are some communities where it's not, you know, it's not as prevalent. I think we're jaded, you know, in a lot of ways because we live in the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Chattanooga, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Everybody, you know, goes to church or is raised in church, exactly. Or something.
They've had an experience in a church at some point in their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody just about, you know, and it's really weird. But I know some places, like, people never even heard of it, you know, some cities in America.
Yeah.
So it's different for sure. But, yeah, I mean, this is really an encouraging discussion for sure. Because, I mean, if you guys didn't know, a big part of kind of my... you know, where my life is heading, is taking me is, you know, kind of further following what I feel is a call from, you know, God to pursue, you know, a full-time job, you know, as a minister.
Yeah.
And that's like huge. I mean, it's been a thing that I've been like just praying about.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole faith deal is a big deal about it. And being willing to talk to somebody, you know, I went a lot of years without, you know, with being afraid to, you know what I mean? Or being uncomfortable with it. And I think once it becomes the centerpiece of your life for real, I mean, eventually it just is like, it becomes kind of hard not to, but it's hard. I mean, it's like, it's hard to, what are the words I say? You know, what are the, how do I approach this? You know, it's weird, but anyway, I think I don't want to go on too long.
For me, it always feels like the older I get, just the more of a curmudgeon that I become when it comes to expressing my faith. I mean, I should in no way be shy about expressing my faith. But it just seems like the more time that goes that I don't express my faith, it's easier for me not to.
Well, you get comfortable.
Exactly.
You get comfortable and you get and you and I are a lot alike in this respect, that if it's not funny or there's not a joke there, a lot of times we don't talk about it. We don't get into it.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of serious discussions. And, you know, God has given us all a sense of humor, but when you're discussing matters of faith and matters of eternity, I mean, it's a serious discussion.
It is.
You're having with people. And I think you're like me, that you never want to get that serious.
Right.
Because that's no fun.
It's not.
You know, it's just not. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, it can be, but. Yeah.
Right. So in a lighter topic, we're going to talk about predestination. And.
all right. Crack your Bibles open.
That's
too.
Exactly.
God knew I was going to say that.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, and I don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I think
we do. It's okay.
I think that for guys our age, it's so cool, and that's a lame word to use, but it's really cool to see kids just openly express their faith.
Absolutely.
And I stood on the side and watched those kids express their faith unabashed and openly and everything, and it was like Matt said, that word refreshing. It was really, really refreshing, and I hope it was for Drew, because I know, you know, we're all alike. It's just we try and just stand back and, you know, just, I don't know, I don't want to say anything disparaging necessarily, but we all, you know, we just hold our faith in too much when we need to be expressing it. And
well, I'll tell you what, to me, and I've been thinking about this, of course, a lot, especially the last few months, years. And, like I grew up in, you know, like a church that had a big choir and an orchestra, you know, and we sang hymns.
They had the robes on too, didn't they?
Well, yeah, we had all that and we had all the traditions, you know, and everything like that. And at some point, creatively, worshiping God became like uncool, and somebody thought, okay, now we've got the exact number of songs we need.
Right.
We don't need any new ones. We don't need anything new. We're just going to sing all these exact same songs out of the same book, and they're going to all be the same numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
they're always going to be the same. And then that's that.
Yeah.
And I don't know where somebody in it, because, you know, I've got a daughter, and like you were saying, when you see people that are younger than you that are willing to be more bold than you, that, I mean, to me, that's like an answer to my prayers. I don't mean to get too, you know, godly or whatever in this conversation, but, you know, I mean, the way people think of who God is that are in the world out there, I think the majority of people think God is just some, you know, big, cold entity that just kind of watches you and points a finger at you, and if you do something wrong, he strikes you down or he makes a mark in his book.
Sits on a throne,
you know,
with a large, long
you.
White beard.
Exactly. He's judging you all the time. He's standing off. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to watch you and observe you. And God is, if you read the Bible, God is a creative, amazing being. Yeah. And he's super creative. And he made us in his image. So he made us to be creative like him. So why would we not be creative and continually find new ways of expressing how we feel about
it? That's
him.
A really cool way of putting that, man. I've never heard that. That's really cool.
Well, my heart, I mean, like, in this sense, using the term my heart is, like, really, really Christian-y, but the way I feel right now is I hope that Nora, you know, my daughter, is able to come up with some better way to worship God when she's my age. You know what I mean? I hope she is better at it than me. I don't want somebody to sing the songs I like now. I hope they're singing
different songs,
new awesome songs or whatever they are doing. You know, I hope it's new. And that's, I mean, I think that's part of it. I think it's just, you know, when you're around something that's kind of like a new way of wording something or a new way of saying an idea, it really sparks and it refreshes your, you know, how you think about, you know, your relationship with a person. Just like when you listen to a love song, and you hear new wording of a way to express your love.
A lot of love songs.
Exactly. We listen to some power ballads, you know, some monster ballads, you know, and you hear Winger, you know, singing about something.
No, Dave, that is not a request by any means, Dave.
But you guys see what I mean, though. Seriously. I think that continual kind of newness is what sparks and keeps us alive. It keeps us alive as as followers and believers.
And it had been a really long time. Don't play that, Dave. I'm trying to be serious.
No, I'm serious too. Go ahead.
It had been a really long time for me. Other than, you know, worship on Sunday mornings, which is amazing. You know, Redstone has an amazing band of just excellent musicians and excellent singers and whatnot. But it had been a long time since I had been to, probably since I was in like high school and maybe early college age, that I had been to an event like that I knew was a Christian band, that I knew there was going to be a worship experience. And I mean, what made it even better is that it was unexpected. I had no idea what I was going to see. Matt Jackson said, "Hey, come check this out." And I went and checked it out. And it was just amazing. And, you know, it's hard to turn this off, please. I'm having a hard time concentrating. As awesome as that is, turn it down.
All right, we'll come back to that.
That's our babe.
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess it had, I just lost my train of thought thanks to Winger or whatever that was.
Striper.
Stripe. Oh.
Oh,
okay.
That's Christian.
That's old school. I don't know. It had been a long time for me to be in an event like that. And I really enjoyed it, and it really made me want to seek out events like this, you know, again, and just be around believers and just worship, take the time to get in a corporate group and worship believers in a really fun setting where, you know, the musicians are going to be excellent, the songs are going to be great, the experience is going to hopefully be an experience that you're able to just openly express your faith. And this particular gentleman, Daniel Bastia, he is a professional that knows how to create that experience, you know, to draw followers together and create a really, really good experience. And I'm really trying to not kiss this guy's butt, but I mean, he was really, really good. I mean, I remember what I was going to say. It's hard to reflect that necessarily on an album. You know, that's probably the hardest thing, that these worship guys release all these albums. It's probably really difficult for them to express the emotion that they want to express other than a concert. But I don't know, Daniel Bastia, he really, really was good. I mean, and I know you probably couldn't hear that much on the CD. His voice is really good, though, and it's modern sounding. That's the key right there, that I think he's reaching the youth, you know, with a modern sound. He's not taking, and I'm going to say this, but he's not going the Mercy Me route. Those guys, to me, are not modern. I'm sorry. I know there's Mercy Me fans out. I know there are. I know there's huge Mercy Me fans out there, but they're not modern to me. And really, Third Day, they are sort of old school to me also.
Yeah, they're old school.
This kid, I mean, he is authentic. That's a really good word to use. He's authentic in his music and he is excellent at what he does. And, you know, it just helped me to have an experience I haven't had in a long time, and I, you know, enjoyed it a lot. But anyways, we'll move on to something way less important, I guess. But really important, like Dave's buried treasure.
I do have a buried treasure, but, I mean, while we were talking, I wanted to play some background music. This, of course, is Twyla Paris.
Oh, wow. Talking about singing in robes.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Well, you know, God's in control, and I do agree with that. No, I understand what you're saying, and like, I mean, I feel privileged to have been there with some of your worship experiences, too, because we've gone on middle school retreats together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the great things about the youth, I guess, is having been a drama teacher for middle school for, you know, 8 years, 9 years, up until about 2 years ago at our church, Valladale Church and SBC Fellowship. You know, I've watched these kids grow up, and so it really warms my heart to see them grown up now in their 20s and 22, 23, 25 years old. They're going on a mission. They're giving their life to missions. They're doing
That's
things
awesome.
In college. You know, they're becoming like teachers and leaders and blah blah blah. You know, and it's just it's wonderful. And I'm really hoping that our child, be it Campbell the boy or Lorelai the girl, we've narrowed it down, our baby, to a boy or a girl.
Wait, his name's gonna be Campbell. Campbell?
No, Campbell.
Your wife's. I'm sorry.
Campbell?
No, it's not Campbell anymore. My bad.
Yes, Campbell Dollar.
Sorry. That was embarrassing.
I'm sorry, Twyla Paris threw you off.
What, you're married? I don't know.
I understand, Twyla Paris threw you off.
But it really did.
I mean, I'm hoping and praying for our child that, you know, we can raise him up well. I mean, because, I see parents at a church that they do great things with their children, and their children are idiots, you know, in the world. And I also see parents who do great things with their children are wonderful. So I'm hoping we're in the latter category.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
So anyway, let's get to something a little less serious.
Please.
That's going to be my buried treasure.
As long as it can turn Twyla Paris off, please change the subject.
Off. Not a problem at all. You know, one of my favorite Michael Bolton albums is Soul Provider. And I'm so afraid that Soul Provider does not get its
S-O-L-E?
Yes, S-O-U-L. Because the problem is that everybody concentrates on the last album, which is
Time, Love, and Tenderness.
Time, Love, and Tenderness, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Time, Love, and Tenderness came from that. Missy
I own his
Nell
tire
came
collection.
From that. But this is the one that came out before that. And actually, this is his sixth album, Soul Provider. And so I want to play some tracks from this album. This is Soul Provider. This is the lead track.
Did you say some tracks?
Is it S-O-L-E?
S-O-U-L.
He said
it. He's not a shoe salesman.
Is he not affiliated with the hacky?
I thought that he was a fishmonger, so that's why I was going with S-O-L-E. But
Soul Provider.
Oh, okay.
Dover Soul.
You don't understand.
Dover Soul reference.
This was released in June 1989. This is the lead single, actually, off the album. Here it comes.
Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. If it's S-O-U-L, how can he be a soul... I don't get that reference.
Now, here's his inspirational song. He also released that later that summer. This is called When I'm Back on My Feet Again.
Okay.
Let's get this up.
Is this connotating that he was at one point crippled? Or
it could be.
Okay. I don't know.
Very inspirational.
It doesn't inspire me in any way.
And I will tell you, this is actually my fourth cassette single that I bought. I bought this.
Cassette single?
Fourth cassette single in my life.
I remember cassette singles. Yes. I used to buy those a lot as well.
I have over 200 cassette singles, and I still have them, and I don't know what to do with them because I don't want to throw them away.
Dude, keep those. Everything will come back.
That's right. Here we go.
Cassette tapes will be back in. Oh, my ears are bleeding, literally.
I can't believe we're listening to this.
Wait, Matt, it's Dave's buried treasure. Yes. Believe it.
When I'm back on my feet again. All right, so let's go to the next track. We're only going to do four, so two more.
Only four.
Yeah, but buried treasure has to be treasure at some
that's
point.
True. It was treasure in 89.
This was a song that was first released by Laura Branigan in the early 90s. Failed to hit the top 10, but this is the breakout song.
I remember Laura Branigan.
Bolton.
I could hardly believe it when I heard the news today. How many movies has this been in?
I don't know, but he's been in four movies himself.
He has?
Yes. Oh. He was in Dune, actually. The Kyle MacLachlan Sting version. He played the spicy drummer.
Are you serious? He was in
Dead
Dune?
Serious. Dead serious.
I need to look that up.
He was
up.
Also in Snow Dogs, I believe.
The Paul Walker movie?
Apparently.
Is Snow Dogs the Paul Walker one? I never remember.
I see Drew's on the chat, and of course he must.
Snow Dogs is the Cuba Gooding Jr.
He must. Oh, yeah. I think was it Out Cold, the Paul Walker movie, or Running Scared?
It was. There was a dog movie that he was in.
Eight Below.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Here we go. What a great, great album. All right, so finally, we're going to do one more track from this. Now, one track I'm not going to do is going to be Georgia On My Mind.
That's good. I'm not a fan.
Not a fan of that song. Not a fan of that.
At all, really.
All right, here we go. This song speaks for itself.
Wow. Wow.
Here we go. You ready?
No.
How can we be lovers if we can be friends? How can we start over with the fight?
I'm about to admit something. I really like that song.
That's right. All right. So I want to give you a little information on Michael Bolton here.
Okay.
This album, Soul Provider, of course, released in June 1989, reached 3 in the U.S., going 6 times platinum, sold 12.5 million copies worldwide.
Wow.
Great album. There's no communication. So that is our buried treasure for this week. Kind of an impromptu. I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but I thought, what better way to do a buried treasure than Michael Bolton? We're going to have that album on Amazon. On thenewscast.com. Buy it. Go through Amazon. Go through our webcast to get to Amazon. That way you can give us some money, and we can feed our children for Christmas this year.
Yes, yes. Drew, we feel your pain, my friend. Drew said he feels like he's being punished.
No, you feel like you're being punished because it's over now.
Exactly.
So let's move on to the big three, and of course, we love movies here.
You know what? I looked at the time. We're going to have to make this the last segment of the night. Is that okay with everybody?
That's fine. Okay. Well, do you want to go straight to the round table, or do you want to
skip the round table. Right, there's nothing important.
All right, that's cool.
So let's just do this.
Well, we're going to do our big three, and this big three this week is great movies with crappy endings. And you know, this is something that really bothers me. You watch a movie and you're like, oh, this movie's awesome.
Yes.
It's great, great, great.
Yes.
It's a fantastic film, plot, effects, story, blah, blah, blah. And then the ending just kills it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kills it. And so real quick, I'm going to go through my honorable mentions.
Just in case, though, don't you want to save those for later?
Okay,
We'll save those for later.
I'll actually start with
my
number three. My number three, great film by Steven Spielberg, and I think some of his endings actually kind of a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But this movie, and I think this falls prey, not only is a bad ending, but it goes on far too long.
Right.
This movie being Artificial Intelligence. AI.
Oh.
Great movie.
Yeah.
The movie, spoiler alert, please turn your radio down if you don't know the ending. Spoiler alert, the movie should have ended with him, with the little kid, Haley Joel Osment, in that thing under the, stuck under the ocean talking. That's how the movie should have
been. Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, these aliens come down. They rescue him. He spends a day with his mom. It went on 30 minutes too long.
Yeah.
The ending.
Yeah, if not
the
longer.
Ending, the
I mean,
ending,
it was, that was a long
the ending
end segment.
Blew. It was awful.
Yeah, it was bad.
Great movie. Terrible
I liked
ending.
It,
no, you didn't. Nobody liked that ending. All right.
I did. Actually, I loved that movie. But I agree. It was. It could have ended.
And that's the whole thing.
For sure.
Great movies, bad endings. So, Michael. Yeah.
My number three, I'm going to have to go, and I'm doing this off the top of my head. I haven't really prepared anything, unfortunately. But my number three would have to be the Will Smith movie. What's it called? The remake, basically.
I am Legend.
I did not like the fact that Will Smith died. Spoiler alert. Oops. My bad.
We're past the statute of limitations.
I really didn't like that. I like to see the hero live. I'm just an old-fashioned person. I like to see the hero live, even if it's realistic that in that situation it was better for him to die. I didn't like it. I liked the movie altogether until that part. So I don't know. That was just me. I just don't like my heroes to die. I want them to live on.
For sequels. Always and cowboys. All right,
Matt, what you got?
Okay, well, my number three is actually a tie.
Ooh.
It's a tie between Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions.
Horrible
I think both of
endings.
Them. Yeah, both of them had just such bizarre endings, like the architect conversation, and the
what
second
was
one
that?
Was like, what the crap?
Yeah, that was
you know, what are
weird.
You talking
Wait,
about?
Man, let me stop you. I think you missed it. It's good movies with bad endings.
I like
all the effects. There are a lot of things about those movies that are cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, there's a lot that's cool, but And I thought Matrix Revolutions had a lot cool about it. The fight at the end, like, there's so much cool stuff. And then he ends up just getting carted off by these weird insectoid, you know, robots.
Were those the same things that destroyed ships in the Battle of Coruscant and Attack of the Clones?
I believe so, Dave.
Yeah, me too.
I believe you're right.
Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so my number two, and this is a movie that, I can't even say it was in the middle or at the ending. It was kind of towards the middle, after the middle, whatever. Great movie. Julianne Moore was in this film, and I thought it had a great premise, had a great, started out wonderful, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, aliens. I'm talking about the movie The Forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, great film. I mean, it's just great film. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, you find out it's aliens. And I'm like, WTF. I mean, really?
Yeah.
And just the whole movie got soured, completely soured.
I've never seen that, but I've heard people talk about that aspect
of
it.
It's not worth it. Don't buy it.
Yeah, I watched it too. And when it got to that point, I was just like, really?
Yeah, they went there.
Yeah. Michael.
My number two is... a star-studded film. It had Jack Nicholson, Mark Wahlberg, Leonardo DiCaprio. That would be The Departed. I did not like the fact that everyone died.
I loved that part of it.
I wanted at least Mark Wahlberg to live.
He did live. He's the one that shot the rest of them and walked out.
Oh, Matt Damon. That's what I meant. Yeah. Matt Damon is the one I wanted to live.
And I love the scene when Matt Damon walks in. He's got the typical basket of food with the breadstick sticking out the top.
Yeah. Yeah, with the baguette. Yeah.
And I love it because I rewound this part to watch this over and over. He walks in, he sees Mark Wahlberg with the booties on his feet
and
the gloves on, and Matt Damon's face, you just know, oh, it's coming. He's just like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And then bang, bang, it's over. I thought it was great.
I don't know.
I thought it was great, too,
I didn't like
man.
That aspect of it. I wanted Matt Damon to live. I just, whatever. Again, I don't like my heroes to be killed. It's just not.
Matt Damon's the bad guy.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was.
No. Leo DiCaprio is the good guy.
Killed
too.
Well, he got killed
and
earlier.
So did Anthony Anderson.
Anthony.
Yeah, wow. Anthony Anderson.
We know why Anthony Anderson got killed.
No, that was a great movie, though. I love that movie.
I don't know. I didn't like that ending at all.
Great duality of morals.
All right, Matt, you're number two.
My number two is a pretty recent movie, and it wasn't necessarily just the very ending. I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but... this movie had a really promising premise.
Are you talking about Hoodwinked 2, Hood versus Evil?
That is actually going to be an honorable mention. I'd like to mention that. But no, I'm talking about Source Code. I liked, you know, when I started watching it, I was like, okay, this is really interesting. And then when they kind of reveal, you know, they kind of pull the curtain back, it's kind of like, meh. It kind of just lost it for me. Like, everything fell apart. I was just like, I don't understand why they have to talk to him in this way. Yeah. I don't understand why, blah, blah. You know, it just fell apart.
I thought the ending was good. Overall, I thought the film was solid. So that's just me.
I haven't seen it yet.
All right. So for my number one, I have a 1A and a 1B for various reasons. My 1A. Is a movie that started out with wonderful promise. Mel Gibson, Joaquin Phoenix, you know, the cornfield and the creepy things going on, totally creeped out or whatever. That would be M. Night Shyamalan's Signs.
Yes.
Great movie, and all of a sudden, and maybe it's just an alien thing. You ruin it with aliens.
I like the end.
It's just all of a sudden aliens, they're destroyed by water. They have enough technology to fly their ships to our planet to harvest our resources, and yet they come to a planet that's 70% water. I mean, can you not research this out before you land on it? Really? Just thought that really just kind of, it blew chunks. I thought that whole part of the ending just kind of blew it.
Yeah.
That set us up, of course, for The Village, which also had a bad ending, too. But anyway, not a fan. That's my 1A. And that's because the ending was horrible. 1B, the movie is so wonderful that the fact that the ending takes 45 minutes ruins everything. That, of course, is Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Oh.
The movie is so good. But after the last battle and after they all kneel down and Aragorn goes,
I remember, hobbits,
you kneel to no one. They all kneel around him and you're like, yeah! I mean, you're fired up and this is awesome, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they go back and there's the whole thing with leaving on the ship and they go back to the Shire and he's writing a book and it's just like, really? I mean, this movie had six different endings and we should be done by now. So,
would you rather it end like Dark of the Moon?
like the
just shows some American flags waving and slow walking.
Yes.
And
oh,
it's
sure,
over.
Let's do it. Yes, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just thought that they I felt like they could have tied that ending up. Or,
little monologue from Optimus Prime, and
you
then
know,
you're
make
done.
The ending into a separate movie itself. And I'd pay $8 to go see the last 45 minutes if I knew that's what I was going to see. But no, just too long of an ending. That's my 1A and 1B, Mikey. Yeah.
Well, let's see. My number one, and it's only because I've seen it really, really recent, as in I watched it Halloween night, was Season of the Witch. I didn't. It totally jumped the shark for me
when
the witch ended up being a demon. Sorry, spoiler alert, but
I'll never see it.
Yeah, I just did not like that aspect of it. I wish they would have just remained the fact that she was a witch. And they would have just gone with that instead of it turning into a demon. And
it's more like Season of the Demon.
Exactly. Yeah. They should have just called it that. It was just a big, you know, letdown for me.
It was a ruse.
And the CG demon, I don't know if you guys remember the Golden Child, but that's how bad the CG was.
I've seen Season of the Witch.
The CG, the demon looked just like the demon from the Golden Child, and that was like...
It was a little bit better than
dude,
that.
It was bad CG, though.
The Golden Child is awful. That, I mean, for the time, it was good, but...
I mean, I was just, like, so let down, because the whole last half of the movie, you have to see this really bad CG demon. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It's not the last half.
Close.
It's like the finals.
Yeah, it's like the final, section. Like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. It's this really bad CG demon. And I thought the girl that played the witch was a really good actress.
And Nick Cage was great.
I don't know. It made me legitimately, and I tweeted this after, it made me legitimately look forward to further Nick Cage movies.
Oh, yeah.
Cage rules. I want the cage.
Yeah, I mean, he's got several. Trespass just came out on video, and I want to watch that really bad. It's directed by Joel Schumacher, who's a pretty legitimate director.
It just came out on video?
Yeah, it never made it to theaters. It went straight to video.
Really?
There's another one that was called, it was at first called Rabbit something, Rabbit Jump or something like that. And they
Snake Eyes 2?
They changed the name.
Rabbit Punch.
They changed the name to Seeking Justice is what the name, and it cannot find a way to get into America. Like, they're having to release it like in Canada or something. Like, they can't even find. And it's directed by Roger Donaldson, who directed some like huge movies in the 80s and 90s. I mean, he's a pretty prolific director. He's been around forever.
I actually can't wait to watch Snake Eyes 2 Roll the Dice. It's going to be awesome.
Well, you're saying sequels right now. I legitimately am looking forward to Ghost Rider 2.
Nice.
Really? I mean, I...
Oh, me too. I
think
very
that's
going to
be awesome. But sorry, went on a Nick Cage rant there. But Matt, what's your
Matt
number
Michael,
one?
Hey, Matt, never apologize for a Nick Cage rant.
No, absolutely not. It's worthy. I mean, it is, like, very much warranted. Especially in the confines of this podcast.
Maddie?
The cage is at home
exactly.
in the Deuce cast.
Number one.
So, my number one, this is a movie, I guess, came out, I don't remember what the year was. It's... Not too old. Stars Tom Cruise.
Vanilla Sky.
But that is a terrible ending.
That is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
That is a terrible ending.
Good, but anyways.
No, this is War of the Worlds.
Another
Spielberg.
Tom Cruise. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I love Tom Cruise. Yeah. Okay. For the most part, I think Steven Spielberg is one of the absolute best directors, maybe not of complete films always, but he is by the book,
okay,
like an amazing
remind
director.
Me of the ending of that movie. Spoiler alert, turn your podcast down.
I will tell you. Number one, let me tell you some good things about the movie. The sounds that the freaking alien walkers make. Like, I still remember that, and it chills you to the core when they first start. You know, when the street starts spinning and cracking, and the things pop up, and they vaporize people. So many really cool visual, auditory, awesome moments that were just really well done. The ending of the movie, Tom Cruise finds his... the whole time he's... looking for his daughter, and they're trying to get to, I think, his ex-wife's house or his parents' house or something like
that.
And it's in, like, another city,
right?
Okay?
Yeah.
And he gets separated from his son during a big battle, so he's alone. And He wanders up to the house, and they're all there safe. Everything around them is totally destroyed and decimated. Yeah, yeah. But it's like their one little town home is sitting there perfectly, you know, nice and neat and untouched. And they all come out and hug, and the sun happens to be there. It's like perfect. But then, okay, these aliens that have been sitting dormant for who knows how long. I mean, like, they have to have been there for hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they're under cities. They died because of the microbes and the bacteria. It's like they've obviously been like taking samples and stuff for like hundreds of years of our planet, and suddenly they come out and they all die because of our,
well, these must be the same aliens
like
that
germs.
Landed in signs that didn't know they were coming yeah, to a planet yeah. that was 70% water.
No research.
Yeah,
done.
But they, but those aliens hadn't been there for hundreds
right,
of
right,
years.
Right.
Either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do remember this ending now, and I do remember people talking about how bad the ending was. But that's the original movie. That's what happened in the original
oh,
film.
Well, no, the original film.
They died because of a cold.
That's true. Now, that's true, but not the family
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right. That's true.
That just took it over the nauseating level to me. I have, like, a certain line, and I was just like, good Lord.
Very nice.
This
all right,
is
my,
a joke.
My two honorable mentions for this real quick, and I really am going to stretch the word good by saying this, but, of course, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, and I really
oh,
feel
yeah,
like
yeah.
we go back to the alien thing where Steven Spielberg and George Lucas are having a conversation over a couple of beers, and they're like, how do we end this thing? Aliens! Let's throw some aliens in there! Dude, aliens works every time! And they did it, and it sucked. The other one, which sort of counts as a movie, but it's more TV than anything else, and that is Stephen King's It with Tim Curry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
First part, phenomenal. The half of the second part, pretty good. The very ending of it, spoiler alert, where they basically go in and this alien, this demon creature that had been terrorizing this town for 200 years turns out to be a big spider. No, it's, and maybe it was just the TV effects from 1991, but just a terrible, terrible ending.
Yeah, that was
the
pretty
book,
bad.
Phenomenal ending, phenomenal book, but just a bad, bad ending to a 6-hour show. That was Stephen King's It. So I guess, Mikey, do you have any honorable mentions for Matt?
My only honorable mention is Bambi. I hate it when Bambi's mom died.
But that's important.
It's pretty rough.
It's sad, though.
My honorable mention, and I agree, I'm kind of in the same boat as Dave here. I don't know if I could call it really a good movie, but the payoff of The Happening is so crappy.
What's Shyamala Malagon's problem?
I don't know, but it's gotten worse and worse. But, dude, The Happening, have you guys seen,
The
Happening?
I have not.
And it's terrible.
Dude,
it's, terrible
it's plants. It's plants. The plants are
revenge.
Getting revenge on mankind.
They're ruining the earth.
They should. Mother Nature strikes back.
It is
back.
So crappy.
Yeah, he's getting worse and worse, and I could not even finish The Last Airbender. I watched part of it. To me, it was such a bad film that I couldn't finish it.
In my instant queue.
I didn't think it was that bad, but I love I love the Avatar, right. The Last Airbender, the series.
Yeah, you probably would have had to have been a fan of the series to enjoy the movie.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily his fault. Because it doesn't have a twist ending or anything.
I just thought it was a bad film.
You know, I mean, it's not very Shyamalan-ish, really.
But that's going to be our big three for this week. And for reasons we'll talk about next week, Matt was going to give us our big three topic for next week. Matt, do you have a Seagal watch this week, or are we done with
it? I've been looking, and there's really nothing. Like, everything we've already discussed. It's either his border stuff or his... MMA stuff. That's like every headline.
That's cool. You can cut
this
part out where I mentioned it. All right. So,
no, it's okay.
So we move on to the end of episode 31, the podcast of Con. Find us on thedeucecast.com. Come see us and check us out. Click our links. Go to Amazon. Buy some stuff. Also visit Stitcher and Facebook and Twitter. Look up The Deuce Cast. Subscribe to us and download us and like us and become a fan. Whatever you can do for us on there, please do so. Go to iTunes. Subscribe as well. Leave us some good reviews. That's how we get iTunes points. That's how we do really well. That's how we get paid. We're not getting paid anything to do this show, so we need your help. So that way, Mama Stephanie on here in Birmingham and Mama Stephanie up in Chattanooga can also have some money for the kids. Same thing with Mama Ashley. That's going to be our show, and we're pretty excited to have been doing this podcast for 31 episodes now. And so I guess, Matt, what's next week's Big Three?
Okay, next week's Big Three is going to be your top three examples of TV or film. I will say film only. Okay. Technology, like future tech. That didn't quite pan out, and it could be real. It could be real things that people were trying to promote at one point. They just floundered,
nice.
or just some sort of a future technology that by now is like, okay, that could
like
never
the hoverboard
happen.
From Back to the Future 2. I like it.
You just took mine.
I wasn't gonna give any examples, but yeah, I think that's it because that's one thing I've. Always loved is technologies and
the best
movies.
Way to support us and to hear that big three is to tell a friend about us as well. Say, hey man, hey friend, listen to this podcast. It's gonna be awesome. That's all gonna be on the Newscast episode 32, a podcast for Spock. So I bid you adieu. I'm your host Dave. Saying goodbye to Matt up in the new. Bye, Matt.
You guys have a great week. Peace out.
And this is Mike, and you've just taken your weekly deuce.
So come and slip into my skin.